Today's daf is daf Pei Dalet. We're holding Masechet Bava Metzia, 7th Perek HaSocherat HaPoalim. And we just discussed two Maasim, one about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, one about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and they needed to deal with issues that had to do with their becoming policemen and the way in which they would handle these questions, and about Yisurin. And so the Gemara today describes issues that are in common between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So we're holding now at the words Kihave, which is the last word on the fourth line from the top. Kihave Mikle, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Bari Adani. When Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would stand one facing the other, because of the fact that they were both very tall, but also exceedingly fat, Havi Ayo Bakr Daturi Benayu, Velo Havi Nagabahu. There was so much distance between the ground and their stomachs that were touching, that a team with a wagon was able to pass between them without touching them. So Amraloa Yimatronita, there was this matron, a Roman matron, who said after looking at them, well, it's quite clear that Benechem Enam Shelachem, you guys could not possibly have gotten your wives pregnant. Your stomachs are so big you couldn't even get close enough. Amrulazar, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar both said to her, let me tell you something. Shelahen Gadol Mishelanu. Our wives' stomachs are even bigger than ours are. So don't even think that this is strange. So she said, well, if that's the case, Kol Shekein. So then it gets even worse. You're not making it any better. Now for sure I know your kids are not your own. Ikari Amri, so some say what the answer to that was, Ochi Amrla, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar, answered her from the Pusik, Ki Ke'ish, Givurato, every man's got his own virility. Meaning, if you think our stomachs are big, you should see the rest of it. So that you think we couldn't get in, but we can manage just fine. V'ikiri amri, achi amrla. Others say that they said things a little bit more delicately. Ahava docheket et abasar. You know, love always makes the flesh more compact. So we manage. Why in the world answer a woman who makes an accusation like that? V'aktiv al ta'an ksil ki ivalto. Answer not the fool according to his stupidity. As is the Gemara Shlolotzi Laz al Bneihem. Since the accusation that she was making had to do with the yichus of their children, they felt it was only prudent to respond. The Rashi brings another explanation about when they said, our wives have even more than we have, and that was that they were referring to libido, so that our wives desire us even more than we desire them. And they meant that she should understand the idea that Ahava docheket et habasar, but she didn't. So she viewed that as an even greater problem. And because of that, she responded with even a deeper accusation. So according to this version, what she was saying was, well, if your wives are so turned on, and they're certainly not getting it from you, so undoubtedly they've got some other lovers on the side, because you couldn't possibly satisfy them. And this is when they answered her in this version. So now the next piece is a little bit coarse, depending on how you learn it. So Omar Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, once we brought up the penis size over here, says Rabbi Yochanan, says one pshat, is Evored Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi kechamat bat teisha kami, that the size of the genitals of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is the size of a pitcher that held 9 kav. Amrav Papa Eved Rabbi Yochanan was kechemat bat chameshet kavim, or some say around about shloshet kavim, and the Gemara says, well, speaking of Rav Papa, Rav Papa's Eved Gufei was kedikure de arpanya. It was the size of the baskets that they make in arpanya that hold 6 kav. Now, others have other explanations. This Tosfos says that the reason the Gemara may write something like this is because it wanted to make sure that people wouldn't be motzi laz on people that have those size bodies. And others learn that Evrei actually means the achila. That's Rabbeinu Peretz's pshat. That this was his avra, his su'uda. Others learn that it's the muscle, meaning is the measurement around the calf muscle. Okay, but in any event, not at all clear what this is all about. And there's even discussions among the Rishonim what could possibly be the intent of the Gemara of including these issues. But overall, once again, the Gemara brings us down to a very human level. Anyway, continues the Gemara now that we've discussed Rabbi Yochanan and how unique he was. We also want to discuss his unique beauty. Rabbi Yochanan mentioned about himself, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hana Yishtayri Mishapir Yerushalayim. I am the last survivor of the most beautiful people in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Haiman Deboy Mirse Shufer to Rabbi Yochanan. Somebody wants to get a sense of how beautiful Rabbi Yochanan was. What you could do is you can Naiti Kasa de Kasper Mibesalki. You can get yourself a silver cup that is still glowing, being taken out now from the furnace. And the Malye Paditsadaya de Romana Sumaka. Fill it up now with deep red seeds from a ripe pomegranate. Get yourself a beautiful dark red rose and surround the top of the cup with rose petals. And then put all of this right between the bright sunlight and the shadow. And then you will see a glow, ahuza urure. That glow that you see spreading along where the sun hits it is mi'ein shufa de Rabbi Yochanan. It gives you a sense of what you would feel around Rabbi Yochanan. Is that true, though? Any? The Omar Mar, we know that we have a Kabbalah that Shufri the Rav Kahana was me and Shufri the Rabbi Abuhu. Rav Kahana had some of the beauty that Rabbi Abuhu was the most beautiful the generation before had. Shufri the Rabbi Abuhu was me and Shufri the Yaakov Avinu. And Shufri the Yaakov Avinu me and Shufri the Adam HaRishon. So that for us to get a sense of how beautiful human beings can be, so we have to look at one dugma to a higher dogma, to a higher dogma. So we go from Rav Kahana to Rabbi Avu to Yaakov Avinu to Adam HaRishon. But note that there's no mention made of Rabbi Yochanan. V'ilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kachashivlei. Doesn't mention Rabbi Yochanan. No, something about Rabbi Yochanan's beauty was something else. Rabbi Yochanan, here what we're talking about is the beauty of power, of shape. Rabbi Yochanan didn't have that. Because Shani Rabbi Yochanan dehadrat panim lo havilei. He didn't have that power because he didn't have a beard. Because they didn't have that masculine sense of power. But we're talking about beauty, a beauty that could be a feminine beauty. And that is the dugma that we were referring to. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan was so beautiful. Rabbi Yochanan used to go and stand by the gateway to the mikveh. You know, what he said was, Kisalka menot Yisrael mitvilat mitzvah livgu bi. When the daughters of Yisrael come out from the mikveh, the first thing that they should see is me. So that their machshava, at the time that they have intercourse with their husbands, should be with beauty and with Torah that is like me. And that way it will help them to have children that are beautiful and tamid chachomi. Are you not afraid of getting an eye in horror, of exposing yourself in this way? Omalus Rabbi Yochanan said to them, that's the last thing that I worry about is eye in horror. Because after all, Anamizar de Yosef Kati, I come from the children of Yosef. That's Merumas in his name, Rabbi Yochanan. And Shalta Bein Abisha. We know that on the Yosef's descendants, the Ayin has no power. Because it says, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin. And Rabbi Abo explained, don't say Ale Ayin. It means Ole Ayin, above the eye, meaning the eye having no power over it. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar, you can learn this from another pasuk. Mihalcha, what was the bracha that Yaakov Avinu chose to give Bnei Yosef? V'yidgu l'rov bekerav haaretz. Why did he compare them to v'yidgu, to fish? To tell me ma dagim shebiyam, ma'im mechasim otam, v'ina ayin shaletet b'hem. They're just like fish in the sea, are covered by water and therefore never really exposed and not open to an attack of ayin hara and jealousies. Av zarosha Yosef, in ayin shaletet b'hem. The eye cannot have power over Yosef and his children. This, of course, is the Medrash says elsewhere, the Ayin, that itself never had any sense of jealousy, never desired that which wasn't its own, is free of the jealousies and needs of others. Yom Echad, it happened one day that Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the Yarden, Avikasach Rabbi Yochanan beYardena, and Chazinei Reish Lakish saw him, because he had no beard, Reish Lakish assumed he was a beautiful girl. Mishavel Yadana Batre Reish Lakish at the time was a highway robber, and he jumped in to the water to take this girl and have some fun. Ramale is Rabbi Yochanan, seeing Reish Lakish jump like that, being able to swim to him so powerfully. Sitin Bechelchali Oraita, someone with those kind of strengths should dedicate them to Torah. Amala is Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, somebody as beautiful as you should be a girl. Shufra Chalanashir, let's dedicate himself to women. Amala is Rabbi Yochanan said, beauty, let me tell you something. Yadarta Bach, if you become, you're willing to become a Talmud Chacham, and do teshuvah, Yavina Lach Achoti de Shapiro Mina, I'm going to give you my sister. She's even more beautiful than I am. So Reish Lakish considered, you imagine doing these kind of deals today, huh? And Karbala accepted upon himself Ol Torah, and then he wanted to swim back to shore to get his clothes. So Boilim Hadalatiyamani. It was too late. As the Yeshiva Bocher was already a schlep, and he had lost his kach, because Torah Mateshit Kochoshel Adam. And so he went, married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. Rabbi Yochanan Akriyai, Atanayai, taught him Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, Shavi Gavra Rabba. Made him a great man. See, Yom Echad, one day in the Beit HaMidrash, they had a machloket. They were arguing about the dinim of what is considered to be gemar malacha of certain kelim, which included weapons. So the question over there is, what is the shiur of the gemar malacha? Because a kli is only mekabel tumah when it's ready to be used. So it says over there, the Gemara explains this a brayta, not the Mishnah that talks about the same thing. Hasayaf, hasakin, vapigyon, vaharomach, umagoyad, all of these blades, whether they're short blades, or kitchen knives, or swords, or spears, or various kelim for agricultural purposes, umagal katsir, asait, meimatai mekablim tumah, mishat gemar malachtan, and mekabal tumah from the time that they're completed, umeimatai gemar malachtan, here we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, mishat sarfim bekivshan, after they're heated for tempering purposes in the Kivshan, that's the Gemar Malacha. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not true. They have to be dipped into water after that. Mishiyatzach tzechuba mayim, and then they become also, they're cooled, and then they're also polished in the water. Marleis, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, well, I guess the highwayman knows more about highway robbery than I do. Established you together. See, he knows that indeed, you know, if this is what he says, I guess he knows. Reish Lakish took that very personally. And my laser, Reish Lakish, said to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, you may think that you're big stuff and that I am your creation, but I want you to know something. My honestly, what is exactly do you think that you did for me? What is because you turned me into a great rabbi? That's not you, baby, that's me. Because when I was a highway robber, I was in the mafia, I was the top of the mafia. Everybody called me the godfather. Hatam Rabbi Koruli. And here also they call me godfather in the Beit Midrash. So what does that have to do with you? Amalai Rabbi Yochanan said, well, just one little issue, maybe. Maybe the fact that I brought you back to Torah, maybe that makes a difference. Chalash Daiti, Rabbi Yochanan just felt weakened. And disconnected, and saddened, dispirited. I don't know quite how to say Chalisha Da'as in English, but in Hebrew it's a beautiful term, because Da'at, of course, is a connection that we have with the world. And Chalishut Da'at is the breaking of that connection, the weakening of that connection. And when you're disappointed in a relationship, that sick feeling that you have is Chalishut Da'at. And it affects you across the board. And because he became weakened, Chalash Reish Lakish became physically ill, and his life was endangered. Hatay Achta Kabanzer, Rabbi Yochanan's sister, came and begged him and was crying, please, you've got to forgive him, you've got to pray for him. Normally, Asay Bishvil Benai, please, my children need a father. Amalas, Rabbi Yochanan said to her, Azraya Tomecha, Aniachayev, forget about your orphans, I, the Lord, will take care of them. So don't worry about it. So she begged him, Asay Bishvil Amanuti, please, I don't want to be a widow. Amalas Rabbi Yochanan said, the pasuk continues, V'almanutecha alai tiftachu. The Almanot can rely on me. I'll take care of you too, don't worry about it. And he refused to pray for him and forgive him. Azal, Yatif Kami. Whoops, sorry. So indeed, Noch Navshed Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Lakish died. And Vavikam Mitztayer Rabbi Yochanan was Mitztayer Batrei Tuva. Missed him terribly, terribly. He was shattered by the passing of Reish Lakish. He had nobody to talk to, nobody that could challenge him. Omer Rabbanan said, look, we've got to do something, because he's going into a deep depression. He's going to, chas v'shalom, really lose his mind. So we better find somebody. Man lezer liatri ledaite. Who could come and talk to Rabbi Yochanan and try to make up for his loss? We have an idea. Nezer Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, The Mechadidin Shmaitzei, after Rabbi Elazar Patat is a genius, guy knows everything. Let him sit here with Rabbi Yochanan and give him some sucker. So, also Rabbi Elazar comes in, Yatav Kamei sits in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and starts learning with him as his new Chavrus instead of Rish Lakish. Kol Milta Davi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, so every word that Rabbi Yochanan would say as a Chiddush, Omar Lei, he would say, absolutely, you're 100% right. I'll bring you a proof from a Braita. Tanya de Misa Yelecha. So finally, Rabbi Yochanan burst out and said, Omar, what the heck? Atke Bar Lakisha, you're the guy that's supposed to be taking the place of Rish Lakish, you crazy? Bar Lakisha Keav Amina Milta, if I would say a word, he would come down my throat and ram me with 24 different kushiot. So he makshir esrim arba kushiata, which would force me to respond to him, mefakinan le esrim arba piruke. And I would have to go out there and answer him 24 different ways. And because of that, memela rafka shmaita. Because of that, I felt that I finally began to understand. The whole shmua became broadened. And I was a different man. And you're an idiot, Tata Amrit. Everything I say, you say, Tanya Maseyalak. I can prove it. I don't need you to prove that I'm right. Otolo Yadana, the Shaprik Amina? You think I don't know that what I say is good? I need a proof from a bright? Habikazel, so he started going around Rabbi Yochanan and tearing his clothing. And he's screaming and crying. V'kabach v'omar, Rish Lakish, where are you? Rish Lakish, Sheikhat Bar Lakisha. I don't have anybody. V'abikatsavach, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs. Had the shavdaitim in until he literally went insane. And so, Rabbanan Rachmi Alei, they had to be mitpalil for him. V'nach nafshe, that Rabbi Yochanan should die. And he died. And now going back to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who was very, very doubtful his whole life about what he had done, giving over these guys to the government and having them hung based on his judgment. And even after he tested himself to see whether he is absolutely perfect and has to worry about decaying in the grave, he still didn't want to be certain. So, he did not want to assume that he was right. And if he had been wrong, he needed a kapora. So he was makabel on himself, Yisurin, to be mechaper for what he had done. Every night, Buurta, he would come in from the Beit Midrash, and Havi Maechele, they would put beneath him on his bed, Shitin Namte, 60 different sheets that were made out of porous felt, so that his pus, that his body would be covered by these boils, and all of the pus and blood would go through these sheets. And then in the morning, they would squeeze it out. L'mocha, avdele, devitu, l'tzafra, sorry, nagni mitute shitin b'shichli dama v'kiva. In the morning, they would squeeze out 60 containers full of blood and pus. And the next day, l'mocharat, l'mochar, avdele, devitu, shitin mine lapta. So that would get him moving again. His wife would make these very expensive dishes that were made out of figs. They were supposed to be able to get your skin back into shape. He would eat the subari, and he became stronger, and that way he could learn. But his wife would not allow him to go to the Beit HaMidrash to learn, because she didn't want him to have the aggravation of dealing with the Rabbonan. Because he was a very controversial figure because of what he had been doing with his work as a policeman. And not to mention the way that he would have to argue about the Divrei Torah. And then he would come back at night after learning Burta Omar Lohu. He would say to the Yisurin that had gone away in the day, Achai v'rei'ai, my dear friends, Bo, come back upon me and let me suffer. And in the morning, B'tzafra Omar Lohu Zilu, go away, I have to go learn Divrei Torah. Anyway, one day his wife overheard him and realized that it was he who had been inviting the Yisurin upon himself. So Yumachat Shama Davita, Amrale, so she said to him, I don't believe this. Atkam maititel ayuluyach? You mean to tell me that you're the one that's been doing this to yourself? And I've been working myself to the bone and spending every last penny that I have on my inheritance to try to get you better? Kilita momon shel beit aba. That's it. I'm out of here. Imrada, she ran away and went back to her family estate. And also the beit nasha, leaving him alone. And so, meanwhile, after his wife left, it happened that Seliku ve'atu hanach shitit sapunoi, there were these 60 sailors that had gotten caught in a shipwreck and a storm and had prayed that they should be saved in the schus of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and they were saved. And so they brought him As thanks, Ailele, Shitin Avde, they brought him 60 slaves to be working for him, each one of whom, Kinakite Shitin Arnake, each one of whom was carrying these 60 wallets of filled with money. The Avdele Shitin Mini Lapta Vachalu, and they would make these very same things that his wife would make every day for him to eat. His wife knew nothing of this, and she, meanwhile, is sitting there thinking the poor guy is probably half dead. So Yumachad Omala, she tells now to her daughter, Mavarta, Zili Baki Biavuch, Baikovid Ayina, go take a look and find out what your dad is doing now without me. Atesha, she comes to see what's going on. Marlaz, Rabbi Lezer, sister, you can go tell your mom. Zili Yimrili Yimech, Shalano Gadomi Shalayim, our riches, as the Talmid Chachamim, are a lot greater than anything that she ever had. Kori Anavshe, Haitak Oniot Socher, Mimerchak Tavilachma. This posik, which in the Eshet Chayil, people take as a reference to a woman, bringing now the lechem from afar, is also, as we know, remes to Torah. Eshet Chayil, Chayil is memchet, it's for the memchet vorm shatoran nikvet behem, that the Torah itself acts as oniot socher and bring whatever it is that a person needs in order to survive. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar was ochal v'shati ubari, he would drink all of this, eat all of this, and he got strong, and now his wife wasn't around to keep him out of the Beit Midrash. So nafik le Beit Midrash. He finally goes back to the Beit Midrash after the hiatus of all this time. Aitel kamishitim hine dama. They bring him 60 different bedikot of dam of women to see whether they were nidot or not. And he said every last one of them is tar. Is that tarina? Avikam aranani rabbonon. So in the Beit Midrash they started thinking he's lost his touch. I mean, it can't be that every last dam that we show him is all going to be tar. And they thought maybe he was no longer really knowing how to paskin and sing the blood properly. So Sagadaitach, they said to themselves, let Buchat Suffolk, there's not one. That's even a Suffolk tumor, he should be Machmaran. Amalu, so he said, okay, you know what, let's do a little test. In Kamotiu, I say that if I'm right, and they're all Torah, and they all go to the mikveh tonight, then they should all get pregnant, and you, Kulam Zacharim, and they should have children that are male, v'im lav, but if I'm wrong, even a one, you'd expect you'll have 60 women, huh? There'll be at least one female. But see, and indeed, every last one turned out to be a male, Gulam Zacharim, and they called all of them Rabbi Elazar, after him, Al-Shmit. Tanya, Omar Rebbe, when Rebbe saw this, he said, take a look at this government and what they did to Rabbi Elazar Shimon, forcing him into this absurd job as a policeman. Kama piri yavarivya bitlarish azu. Look how much Puri of Arivya, the Malchut Arisha'a, were Mavatel mi Yisrael, that they did not allow him to go back to the Beit HaMidrash. Rashi, unfortunately, has also another Pshat Risha'azu, his wife, that vicious wife of his, who ran away and left him alone. Look what she did at all of these years, all of that time that he didn't get to Beit HaMidrash. He could have been Matir all of his dam, and no one else had the chutzpah to be Matir. Ki avakanecha nafshe, as he was dying, he said to his wife, Ramayla de Devitu, look, I know that nobody holds very much of me because of my career, and they're not going to give me a proper funeral. So what I want you to do is, don't tell them that I died. Leave my body upstairs in the attic, and don't be afraid. Everything will be fine. The mother of Rabbi Yonatan was friendly with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's wife. And what I got from them was that it was at least 18 years. It could have been maybe 22 years as a maximum. She let him stay there in that attic. And he was there in that attic. And when she would come up, she would brush his hair. She would check his hair. And one of the hairs was pulled out. It would bleed. It was as if he was still alive. One time she went up and she once saw a maggot crawling out of his ear. And she thought, that's it. That's the end. His body's starting to decay. So I'm quoting. That's why this is really first person, because he was quoting what the mother of Rabbi Yonatan said, I was feeling sick to my stomach, and then he appeared to me, Rabbi Elazar, in a dream, Marlin, he told me, don't worry about it. It's nothing to do with decay. That's love midayu. That's not a sign of decay. It's because it's a specific punishment for me. Because one time in my life, I once heard somebody speak badly of a Talmud Chacham, even though I protested. But I didn't protest the way I should have protested. And because of that, I deserved that punishment. And that's why it came from my ear, from my non-responsiveness to what I had heard. After he died, people would still come, not knowing that he was dead, would still come for psak halacha to him. And sometimes they would accept his psak even in a dinteri, even though it was only a yachid. So, avakiyati beitrei ledina, if two people would come to fight out the halacha, so they would sue one another, avikaima abava, they would stand at the door, and one would say his tainus, and one would say his tainus, amar mar milte, umar milte, and then a voice would come out, his voice, would come out from the attic, and they relied on that psak. One time, his wife was having a vicious fight with her neighbor. So Amra Allah, the neighbor said to her, you know, you should only be like your husband and never be buried, you little rotten ogre. Then they realized that people had figured out what's going on, at least in the neighborhood. So Amra Bonan, at this point, it's not their acher. It's that people are going to say that they never buried him, and it's like a zilzol in him. So they we're going to have to bury him. Others say that at that point, what happened is Reb Shimon bar Yochai, who was the father of Reb Shimon, he appeared to the Chachamim in a dream, and he told them, how is it that prida achat yesh li beinechem? I have my one child, my one little bird that I left between you, and you can't bring it back to me to bury him so that he can join me in the Shamayim. So Ozer Rabbanan la sukebe. So the Rabbanan went to make a funeral to be kever Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. But the people in town, they made a picket and would not allow anybody to come to bury him. Lo shavku b'nei Achbarya, which is where they lived, in Achbara, which is still, by the way, in the same area, as we'll see in Birya, so there's a Shkunat Tzvat called Achbarya. So they didn't allow the people to take away his body, because as long as he was there, all those years that Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon was asleep in the attic, bad luck, there were no vicious animals that would come into town. So they waited, the Rabbanan, for an opportunity. So Yom Echad Mala Yom Kippurim, it came to be Erev Yom Kippurim, and all the people in Achbarya were busy making a suuda. So they didn't go on the picket to make sure nobody would get the body. So Avi Tride, Shor Rabbanan Vnei Biri, so Rabbanan sent to the people in Biria. Biria is now at the bottom of the hill. It's not on the other side. It's actually the town. Biria is the town where the Shulchan Aruch was actually written. It wasn't written in Tzfat because Rabbi Yosef Karo had left Tzfat because of a terrible virus that was going around, or a plague, and it was written during his stay in Biria. So, in any event, they sent people to come from Birya, that they should bury him. As Kula Arsay, they lifted up his mita from the second story, the attic. Vantiyo l'ma'arata davu, and they dragged him to the ma'ara, where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was buried. Shashkechu l'achna, in the entrance there to Meron, there was a large snake, tahadrila l'ma'arata, that had wrapped itself around the entire Ma'ara, holding its tail in its mouth, in the classic closure, the snake closure. It wouldn't let anybody in. Amrula, so they said to the snake, Achna, Achna, Pitripech, open your mouth, snake. The Ikanez Bein Neitzel Aviv, let the son enter, next to his father. Patachlu, so the snake opened up and allowed the Mita of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon to be buried next to Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Shalach Rebbe Ledaber Bishto, so then Rebbe sent to the wife of Rabbi Elazar, that she should marry him. Shal chaleser, she sent him back a chutzpah. Klish nishtamesh bo kodesh, nishtamesh bo chol. A holy man used me to be his wife, and I should allow myself to be used by a low-class man like you. Tamanam in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say about that situation, a saying, ba'atra demoy beta talizani kurba, in a place where the knight of the house would hang his arms, Raya Kultetala, came along now, the shepherd and hung there his filthy backpack? Shalach lo, so Rebbe sent to his wife and said, why do you call me such a low-class person? So what if Rebbe Elazar was greater than me in Torah? But b'masim tovim he gadomi meni. Was he greater than me in Sitkes? Sholchaleis, Rebbe Elazar's wife, sent to Rebbe. Let me tell you something. I don't know about Torah, okay? But Torah mi gadomi b'cha lo yadana. I'm just a woman, I don't know. You say so, fine. But one thing I do know. B'masim yadana. I know for a fact that he's greater than you. B'kobel ala yisurei. Because he was mekabel on himself, Yisurin, with great joy. Later on we're going to see, of course, I mean, why that's different, really, than Rebbe. We said Rebbe is also mekabel Yisurin on himself, to be discussed. So in any event, b'torah mahi, how do we know that Rebbe Elazar was greater than Rebbe in Torah? D'chi avi yasir, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, asafsali. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel were in the Sanhedrin. They were there in the Beis Din HaGadol. They were sitting on Safsalim, and the Talmidim would sit on the ground in front of them. They were getting Shimush. And among the Talmidim was the young Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and the young Rebbe, and they would sit Ara, like the way that the Talmidim would sit. And they were allowed to ask questions and to answer questions as if they were from the greatest of the Talmidei Chachomim. It's Machu, Mefarku. So the Chachomim, who were standing, sitting on the benches, felt that it was improper for Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, to be sitting on the ground. And they said, look, they may be young, but meineihem anu shotim. I mean, we're living off of their insights, drinking their water. Ve'im yoshvim al gavei karka, and they should be sitting there on the ground. That's not correct. Avdu l'safsalim, so they made additional stools so that they would have a place to sit. Maskimo. They made them get up from the ground and sit down on their stools. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, you guys crazy? Prida achat yesh li b'neichem. You know, I have one child. This Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, was a child of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. I have one child, and you're trying to destroy my child. I mean, that's all we need, is that he should grow up like this, with everybody looking at him, and him being the big genius, who was a child prodigy, was sitting there on the safsalim. He's never going to make it. Please, just let him go back down. So, they said, all right, you better go back down on the ground. They put him back down on the ground so that he wouldn't be so visible and attract so much attention. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha said, is this fair? I mean, because Rabbi is not an orphan, so his father is here. So because poor Rabbi Elazar, this boy doesn't have a father, because Rabbi Shimon died earlier. So therefore, he's okay. If he drops dead, that's fine. And we should leave him up there. He should be set down on the ground next to Rabbi. So Achtunami, the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, they put Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon down on the ground like Rabbi was. Rabbi was very upset about this. So Cholash Daite, Rabbi thought that, you know, having Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon up there is not really going to attract much attention because he's not really in my league. So I don't know why they had to put him down. So he was very upset. And he said, what? Kashkashvitu le kavati? What, they think that he's like me? So, ada huyuma, ki avyama Rebbe Milta, avyam isayel le Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Until that day, every time that Rebbe said something, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon used to go along with him and would bring a riot to him from somewhere. But after that day that Rebbe got stuck up as a kid and made that comment, mikan ve'elech, every time Rebbe opened his mouth and asked permission to speak. So, as soon as he said, Yaviyomer Rebbe Yeshli, I have something to say, Lashiv, and to argue about what everybody's saying here, before he even had a chance to say it, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon would say, okay, here's what you want to say, and here's why you're wrong, okay? So now what happened was, that Hashta Keftanu Tshuvot Chavilot Shem Mamash, you would have sat there and spoken all kinds of nonsense, and we would have had to sit and listen to you. So just shut up. And this got Rebbe pretty upset. Because now he realized how much greater Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon was than him. So, Chalash died to the Rebbe. Rebbe now was feeling in the opposite direction. He's feeling like garbage. Oh my gosh. And, every time he wants to think of something, people already know what it's about and think it's foolish. So he went home and he told his father, he told Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, how is it that this guy is so much better than me? I'm a failure. So his father said to him, Beni, it has nothing to do with you. It's me. There's no comparison between you and him. He is an Ari Ben Ari. He himself is a lion, but he's got a father of Shimon Yochai. Man, they don't come like that. Mashenkin, you are also a lion, but you have a father. What's your father? It's just a fox. So, meh, who am I? Ata Ari Ben Shu'al. And therefore, you have to understand that you don't have the same level of Siyata Deshmaya and background that he does. I know Demir Rebbe, because of this Maisa, Rebbe always used to say, Shlosha Anvetanime. There are three great people of unbelievable Anova in the world. The Elul Hain, I'll tell you they are. One of them is my father, Abba. That's Reb Shem Ben Gamliel. And the other, I'm talking about historically, is B'nai B'teira, who were the Nisian when Hillel HaZaken ended up. Hillel at the time was not Hillel HaZaken. He was Hillel, came from Bavel, and he ended up showing them up in the halakhas, and they gave their seats up, and they made him a Nasi above them, which is an astounding kind of thing. And the third was Yonatan ben Shaul, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, we don't have to explain more. This is the case. Adi Amoran. You can see what kind of Anav he was. B'nei B'teira, look, I mean, obviously they're Anavik. Liomar Mar, because we learned that the B'nei B'teira took Hillel, and Hoshivu Barosh, Uminu Lanasi Aleya, that after he showed them up, they saw that he was greater, and they gave up the Nasiut and handed it over to Hillel. It's a remarkable thing. Whoever heard of such a thing? The same thing happened with Yonatan ben Shaul. Yonatan ben Shaul, he goes and he tells David, Atatim locha Yisrael, you're going to be king. And I'll be the second in command. I mean, he's the prince. His father is the melech. And nonetheless, never occurs to him that he's the one that should be king. Yes, the Gemara, wait a minute. How do you know that that's because they have so much anava? Mimai, who's to say that B'nai B'teira gave up their position because of anava? That Yonatan gave up his position because of anava? I mean, maybe it was because of the facts. Dilma Yonatan ben Shaul. Yonatan maybe had no choice in the matter. I mean, he's not stupid. He was Choza, the Gur Alma Bater David. He saw that everybody was following David. It said Beferish in the Pasuk, Kol Yisrael Yudah, Hevet David. And they were singing songs about David, that he's greater than Shaul. So, I mean, he's not going to run against all of the popular feeling. He understood that David is the one that's got to be. So, okay, so he's holding on to the second-in-command position. That doesn't show that he's an Anav. It shows that he's smart. And how do we know Ben B'teira Nami? I mean, maybe the reason B'nai B'teira had to make Hillel the Nasi is because it was so evident that he knew so much more than they. So, but what are they going to do? So they have to give in. So B'chaz V'ilodot is Minayu, but it doesn't mean that they're full of anava. It simply means that they're afraid that people are going to come in, ask questions. They're not going to know. Hillel's going to know. It's going to end up being a chuk of a tula. But one thing's for sure. If Shimon Gamliel, oh man, that is vadai. Anvitan Havik. That can only come from immense anavah.